This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Still played the puck. Lost it to Johnston. Fired towards the net. On the doorstep. Score!
ESPN with the call. It was scary. It was nervous. But the Dallas Stars end up tying their series against the Avalanche at one game apiece. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for waking up with us and being a Tolo. That is what Turn It On, Leave It On stands for, as the man who did not get any time on the ice in Game 1 is able to respond, Colin Blackwell scoring at the 17:46 mark of overtime.
Yeah, and honestly, that whole fourth line was just aggressive all night long and playing really well. They got two goals out of that group. And Blackwell was one who was all night kind of flashing and showing up. And he gets that first shot off, and then it just feels like time freezes for a second. That puck is just, you remember Inception, where you get they got the little totem, they spin the little top there, and you just watch it spin and spin and spin, and it just kind of slowly starts dropping. Like, that's what that puck felt like it was doing, just sitting there spinning. And then he gets the rebound and puts it back. And, obviously you could tell it was like a whole team exhaling at once.
Yes.
When they got that goal. And it's just like, thank God this is over.
All right, Bob. Talent. Where do the Stars stack up amongst all these other teams competing for the Cup?
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to pretend to know every single person on this list. But you know who will pretend, typically? Peyton. And so, Peyton, I would like to see if you can name the Dallas Stars that ended up on this list. So ESPN, every time they get to the playoffs, they generally will rank the top 50 remaining players for whatever playoff there is. So Stanley Cup playoffs, top 50 NHL players in the playoffs. NBA, same thing. And so they go through this list. The Dallas Stars, it turns out, according to ESPN, are the most talented team left in the playoffs because they got six players in the top 50, which was the most of any team. Colorado was second with five.
Oh, well, that's fun for your first-round matchup. It's not surprising that they have the most, because kind of the knock, if you're searching for one on the Stars roster, is until the trade that happened late in the year. Really good roster, doesn't have the top-heavy superstar, right? Not going to have McKinnon. Not going to have some... You don't have any headline name. You got a lot of really good players.
Although they tried to address that a little bit with Rantanen. Probably. And so
I said the trade.
Yeah. Peyton, Nate, let's see if you can name the six Stars players that are on this list.
I'll start with Wyatt Johnston.
Nope, not on the list. Wow, your very first one.
Jake Oettinger.
Jake Oettinger is on this list. He is the third star listed. He is player number 26, I believe.
I'm going to go with Jamie Benn.
No Jamie Benn.
Jason Robertson's yes. Hurt, though. But is he on there?
Jason Robertson is on here.
Okay.
Miro.
No Miro.
Miko. Is Miko.
There you go. Miko's the highest-ranked star on the list. He's
so
number
nine.
What
do I have, three here?
You got three of them.
Tyler Seguin.
Nope.
Rantanen.
He just threw out Rantanen. So the remaining ones on here, Roope Hintz, Matt Duchene, and Thomas Harley.
There you go.
Coming in at 46. But you've got six players basically crammed in there from 9 to 46. So if they lose the series or if they get bounced from the playoffs early, this isn't going to be necessarily a talent issue, but it's...
Where's Ottinger in terms of the goalies? How many goaltenders are above him on that list?
That's I'm a curious. Good question. Let me see how many it is.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Let us know if you went to that game as well, because that was an electric crowd.
He is sixth. He is 31 overall. He is the sixth ranked goaltender. The number one player on the entire list is a goaltender. It's Winnipeg's goaltender. Connor, and then pronounce it for me, Peyton. Connor Hellebuck. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Connor Hellebuck.
He's the number one player according to this list.
Wow. All right. The NFL draft is getting closer and closer. We got the official coverage on Thursday. Bobby and crew will be at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Myself and others will be at different Pluckers locations throughout the Metroplex. I'm going to be at the one in Mesquite. So stop on by for all the drinks, all the food, and all the fun. Some of the latest rumors out there. It appears that the Tennessee Titans are going to stand in and make that pick, as Adam Schefter is going to take you around with the mailbag.
Yeah, so the Titans are going to stand in. They're going to make the pick. They're going to go ahead and roll with Cam Ward at quarterback, it appears. But it wasn't without some level of interest from the rest of the league in terms of trying to work with Tennessee and go up there and get Cam Ward. So this, first off, I think the important thing to point out is that the entire league is trying, if anybody's moving up, they're trying to move up for Cam Ward. So the important thing here is Will Chambers was wrong about Shador being the consensus number one, like I told him. And so just remember that, Will, and remember who's your NFL draft daddy. But this is what Adam Schefter wrote. He said, it's easy enough to figure out the top picks in this draft. Cam Ward is expected to go to Tennessee with the top pick. But he did say that both the Browns and the Giants at 2 and 3 had tried to move up and pursue the number one pick. And ultimately, Tennessee's choosing to stand in their pick. And it says one of the biggest reasons for the lack of movement is what evaluators perceive to be the lack of blue chip quarterbacks. That's the reason why there's not a whole lot of movement right now, discussion going up and or down in this draft. There isn't a quarterback outside of Cam Ward that's worth trading up for. Browns inquired about the possibility of trading up. Giants were even more persistent in their efforts to try to trade up for the top pick with Tennessee. The Titans have resisted those overtures and are expected to hold on to their pick. Is there any part of that, do you think, that would be, let's just hold out to the last second, try and get everything we can, see if the Giants will blink? The 49ers did that a couple years ago when they picked now Dallas Cowboy Solomon Thomas. They had the second pick, and they just held out and basically waited until the last possible second to make Chicago give up everything they needed to flip for that pick.
No, after I heard Cam on the video game feed
talking about Treylon Burks, fourth best receiver in the NFL, baby.
Yeah, they told him this thing is over and done with, and they're printing up the Ward jerseys there in Tennessee.
Now, one of the things that we talk about, how Cam Ward is pretty much the consensus top quarterback. He's not the top quarterback for every team, though. Schefter mentions Tyler Shuck at Louisville, who played at Oregon and Texas Tech and is 26 years old, is one of the older prospects in the draft. That Tyler Shuck is actually the top quarterback for some of these teams. And I hadn't heard that he was the top quarterback. I heard that he was ahead of Shador for a lot of teams, though. And so you're talking about teams that I guess are not scared off by the age. There was actually a write-up the other day, I think ESPN had it, where they were talking about there's a general sense from the NFL that we're not as worried about these older players anymore, which to me used to be a death sentence, especially at quarterback.
Yes.
When you think about Chris Winkie, Brandon Whedon, like these guys who were 26, 27, 28 years old when they got into the draft, and you couldn't count on them to be sustainable options at the quarterback position.
I am really, really. By the way, we're going to have guests in studio tomorrow and Thursday. We got Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, for 2 hours, and Zach Wolchuk. Wolchuk tomorrow from 8 to 10, and Nick Harris, who's going to be on the draft show coverage as well, 8 to 10 on Thursday. So thanks to those fellas for lending the expertise.
Yeah, it'll be an hour and 40 minutes of draft talk with Nick, because he'll probably try to carve out 20 minutes to just say, I told you all about Jimmy.
Yeah.
What I tell you about playoff Jimmy there. But the one of the interesting notes he has in here is that because there's not a lot of movement on the draft picks themselves and saying, all right, there's not a reason for us to go up and get it, he starts pointing to players that could be moved this weekend. Guys who are either young players who are on rookie deals and might be cheap options if somebody's willing to give up capital, or a handful of the veterans. So would you like to entertain some of the names on the veteran list or the cheap younger rookie-type players.
Veteran.
All right, the veteran players that he says could be available via trade this weekend. Jalen Ramsey, cornerback from the Miami Dolphins. Jair Alexander, cornerback from the Green Bay Packers. Kirk Cousins, cornerback from the Falcons. There was a report yesterday that Minnesota is willing to potentially entertain taking Cousins back if some of the money is eaten.
As a backup?
That would be the thought, I would guess. I mean, they entertained Aaron Rodgers there.
Phone lines are open to Browns and Giants for second and third picks. Both teams are listening, according to Peter Schrager. But yeah, apparently the asking price has been too high in Atlanta because they want another team to eat a ton of that money.
Couple of notable tight ends who could be on the move this weekend. Dallas Goedert from the Eagles. And there was talk that Schefter had written in there that Philly picking at 32. Thomas Dimitroff told us this last week. Philly's always looking to go up. Howie wants to go up. Howie wants to be aggressive. And so maybe that's a case where they package Goddard in something to go up. Mark Andrews, the playoff goat for Baltimore. Boy, if he gets moved and that's his last moment in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then Trey Hendrickson, the edge rusher from the Bengals. Some of the rookie contract players who could get moved this week, obviously Will Levis with the Titans. He mentions Treylon Burks. I don't know if Cam Ward wants to give up the fourth overall receiver in the NFL. One of the names that's interesting here, and you're starting to hear some buzz about, Kayvon Thibodeau, who was a top five pick a couple years ago for the Giants.
Dez's best friend.
And he seems to have tension there with the Giants right now. Now, he has not totally lived up to his potential yet. He is a cocky, swagger-filled type of player.
Yeah.
But
the Cowboys had him two or three?
One
on the board.
Thibodeau was number one on their board a couple years ago. And so I'd be kind of interested to know if they would try to swing something for Thibodeau. But Thibodeau would make some sense, I guess, because they would just look at it as like, we've already invested in Burns. If we're going to take Abdul Carter, like, do we really need to just keep throwing all these resources at edge rusher? Also, Evan Neal, who's been a bust to this point. Jalen Hyatt, the receiver for the Giants. So the Giants may be in the market to move some of these players.
Cowboys pre-draft press conference today at 11:30?
I believe it's supposed to be at 11:30. Yeah, I don't know if they've firmed up the time yet, but yeah, Cowboys are supposed to have their pre-draft press conference today.
All right, speaking of filthy, A.J. Brown yesterday came out and issued a little threat to someone in Philadelphia to whoever stole my car last night. I'll make a deal with you. Bring back my car and I won't press charges. Or when I find you today, it's going to be what it's going to be. Take it or leave it, my guy. Well, AJ went on Twitter to provide a car theft update.
I'm out here grinding for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I got to look for my car. Come on, man. Nah, but look, we already got the whip. See, I told you to just turn the car back in. Just turn it in now, and now you got to deal with the consequences, man. I'll tell y'all a little funny joke, man. This morning, when we were talking to the police, my little son going to come up and say, hey, dad, Paw Patrol. I said, hey, everybody got jokes this morning, huh? Yeah, and the joke's on you.
Got him. They got him somehow, some way, in filthy. He wanted to turn the entire city against this criminal by being, I'm out here working for the Eagles. I'm out here trying to sweat it, trying to defend the championship.
By the way, Adam Schefter had a note about A.J. Brown in his little draft rundown. He said, despite the internet chatter, he's like, A.J. Brown is not going anywhere. And there's been some people who thought
he's just a disruptive guy.
He is. That's moody. The biggest problem. But a lot of people have wondered, like, hey, Vrabel, the beginning of the end for Vrabel in Tennessee was when A.J. Brown got traded and he didn't want him to get dealt.
Yeah.
And so maybe the Patriots, somebody just sent in on the fan text, said A.J. Brown to the Patriots, that's their call for this weekend. But Schefter says don't expect A.J. Brown to move.
Howie Roseman said that Big Dom is the best, not only in the league, but in all of sports when it comes to gathering that intel on draft prospects. Going and getting that dirt and using... I bet Big Dom found AJ's car. I guarantee you. Imagine how many voluntary police officers are hitting up Big Dom to be like, hey, here's someone who's doing something bad. Here's a little lead. Here's where the car may be. And he's the best in sports when it comes to draft intel, according to Howie.
You remember when Slater sat in here with us and she was telling me, she was basically playing mom and she's saying, hey, I did not approve of the way you handled Dan Orlovsky at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was bad. I had to have a similar conversation with her when she took a photo with Big Dom
yeah.
at the Super Bowl, which was just... He looked ridiculous with like the two-tone glasses. I do too.
I kind of want to meet him.
I want to have him on, but he's this weird mystical figure.
He's the most interesting man in the NFL.
He, you know what, though? It's honestly, the way people talk about him is kind of the way people talked about Nico when he got hired as GM here. Just like, ooh, this is the man who gets it all done. He's the guy behind the scenes. And so, but no, this that is a very, very important job. If he's the best in the league at that, that's definitely an advantage where, especially if they're going to pick all these Georgia car racers over there in Philly, they need to know if they actually did it or not.
He got Jason Kidd to slip up with the Babe Ruth comparison, and he created the headline yesterday that Nico didn't realize how much Luka love there actually was in the Metroplex. Mac Engel, our great buddy from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, kicks off the commercial-free expressway live on the FanCam Twitch and YouTube next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Did the anger and outrage from the fan base, has that exceeded what you were kind of planning for?
Yeah, good question. I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to, you know, go on and on.
Well, the headlines were not quiet after Nico Harrison answered the question of our great buddy live on the FanCam Twitch and YouTube, Mac Engel, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy out on the Italian vacation. So, Mac, I know you're really disappointed over that, but thanks for joining us either way.
I'll be honest. I wanted to ask him why he wore the cowboy hat during his wedding ceremony. I'm like, dude, you're not fooling anybody. Give it up.
Yeah.
You know you don't have any hair. You don't need to mask it. It's okay. Not that it was a bad look. And I'm like, you're not fooling anybody. We get it. It's all right.
Mac, you got to go to a steakhouse with these two because you think it's going to a Ranger game with the amount of... I thought you couldn't wear hats at steakhouses anymore, but it's just hanging on for dear life from both of them. RJ is just trying to find a fancy way to do it. We all can't have your coif, as he would call it.
I felt, you know what? When you asked me yesterday to come on, I forgot that you guys do it via Zoom now. I totally forgot. So when I got up and then your producer's like, you'll join via Zoom. I'm like, via Zoom? I was still in bed. I'm like, no way. My hair looks like a mop. So I just put on my my alma mater's hat. It's not a good look. And I'll be honest with you, I'm 51, Sean.
You look good.
It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still, but I'm aware. I'm aware that... I got to take care of this because it's not going to be forever.
I found my first gray, obvious gray, the other day, and I almost had a meltdown. It wasn't good.
I found several of your grays before that.
It's in the beard, but not up top. Why don't you take off your hat?
It's gone, dude.
Shut the hell up.
It's leaving, Mac.
Shut the hell up. Mac Attack, take us inside yesterday's event, and how hurt were your feelings if you did not get the private invite last week to Nico's roundtable?
A little hurt, a little stung, not going to lie. It's kind of like seeing your best friend gets invited to the party that you don't get the invite. Like you see it on Instagram or social media, and you're like, wait a minute, why am I not at the party? And that's where you know where you really rank, and I'm clearly not in the cool kids club. But yesterday, they were like, okay, I guess we got to invite all the losers and nerds. Sean, I'm not going to lie. It was a little tense. I know he's getting killed for it. He should have done it 2 months ago. I was critical of him the day they introduced Anthony Davis. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's the guy who pulled the trigger on this trade? And he did own that he screwed it up. The PR staff was very nice about it. They made a mistake. And what it hit me was, Sean, Bobby, is there anything that he could have said? Any combination of words other than I screwed up and I quit that you think would have satiated fans right now at the moment?
Absolutely not. Nope. No way.
Then I agree with you. And when I asked him that question, there was four questions I wanted to ask. And he was very nice. I mean, look, that was a really tense press conference.
Great job by the media. I thought the questions from everyone were fantastic.
So do I. Thank you very much. I thought everybody asked good questions, and I thought he was very decent about it. It didn't get tense. It was just, any exchange wasn't tense, but the whole mood of it was tense.
Yes.
And I thought he handled it as best he could. Yeah. But I
got killed for giving him props for it being better than the last interactions. People can't. You know, nowadays, especially on social media, you know, two things cannot be true at the same time. But I thought he tried to adjust yesterday for the better.
So did I. I totally agree with you. And I think the problem is the answers aren't good. Yes. No one likes the no. What I mean is no answer is good. And to me, the flaw, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot, this is basically a 3-year window. And year one and year two of it are basically gone. Because the player that is the second most important piece to this suffered a major injury. And now year three of it, these guys are going to be 35 and 34 years old. I can't think of championship teams built around 35 and 34-year-old guys. Maybe it happens. And then if they go out and get KD, it's going to be some AARP AAU convention. And I'm not seeing it. And I'll give them, there's one part of this I'll say, and I said it from day one. You give me a team with a healthy Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving with those other guys, that's a team that can win a title. They didn't get the team, but for what? A half?
Yeah.
And we're not going to really see it again.
Matt Gangle.
In exchange for Luka Doncic.
Matt Gangle, 4-star Telegram here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to go back to his answer to your question over not realizing the Luka love. Should we be outraged by it? It reads, as many things in life, it reads a lot worse than the actual sound? Or did you think while he was answering it, oh my gosh, you're going to get destroyed for this? Or was he just trying to say, I know Luka was loved, I just didn't know that there would be near riots?
I want to give him credit for that one in terms of that what you just said. I knew he was loved. I didn't know there were going to be picketing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's like a lot of decisions that you make. You kind of brace for one scenario and you're like, okay, I know this is going to be bad. Right. You know, the breakup's going to be bad. Oh, I didn't know she was going to burn my house down.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. Right. I didn't know she was going to kill the bunny rabbit. So I just think in this case, yeah, you know, it's going to be bad. You know, it's popular. But until you actually pull the trigger and you see the outrage, then I don't think anybody could have really prepared for it. Because, Sean, guys, I can't think of a precedence for something like this where you, other than Babe Ruth, which is kind of cool. I just can't think of one.
I got to take it back to my Baltimore days of the Colts leaving, the Browns, like a franchise leaving in the middle of the night. That's the only thing I can think of with the rage.
And, you know, I asked Randy Galloway about it. I called him a couple weeks ago to write about it. And I said, can you think of any example like this? And he said the closest would be when Jimmy Johnson left the Cowboys, when Jerry fired him. The difference was, that team was still rolling.
Yeah.
And as upset as they were at Jerry Jones, justifiably, they kept winning. Well, they made this trade and they made the play-in and then didn't make the playoffs. I just can't think of anything really where there's like a comp where Nico and the management can say, well, okay, we should prepare because this kind of happened there. Well, there is no comp. You just went and made history. Good job.
Matt, you know, when we look at the history of Dallas-Fort Worth sports, I feel like when I grew up here, I felt like basketball was always third for the city. Like it's Cowboys, Rangers, Mavs generally. Why is it though that Luka has such a connection as the most beloved star? And then further back to that, if you were to put somebody else up there, it's another basketball player. It's Dirk. Like Juan Gonzalez getting traded didn't get this reaction. Dez Bryant getting cut didn't get this reaction. Why is this one so intense? Why is a city that has basketball third so in love with their two stars?
That's a great question. I've thought about that. Why we identify with the Slovenian. I think some of it has to do with he walked in the door at 18 and we knew him right away. He was following the legend's legend, right? I mean, Dirk can do no wrong. So he followed him and I'll be damned. It looked like it was actually going to work. And I think it was just identified with this guy, Bobby, who when he played, you knew just by the way he carried himself and the bandages that he was leaving everything out on the floor. And not only that, he carried the entire fandom in the city on his back with a middle finger at his opponent while he was running out there on, you know, two bad knees or this or that and dropping 50, grabbing 15 and dealing 11 assists. I mean, just put up stratospheric numbers. And I think it just seemed genuine. And I think people just gravitated toward it. And I hate to say this, but I do think there is an element to it. I don't know how big of an element, but he's a white dude. And I mean, it does. People, it's like the Josh Hamilton thing. People loved Josh Hamilton. They loved him. I'm not sure had Josh been Hispanic or African-American that the fandom would have been the same. Because he was an amazing talent. He's a good guy. He wasn't going to cure cancer, but he was a good guy. He was a good player. But I think with Doncic, there was just an identification that there was. I remember Bobby, Jimmy Johnson said this one time about the Dallas Cowboys and why it was important. It was something in their life, in our lives, that we identified with as a positive. And being a Luka fan, win or lose, was a positive. And now you've given him away to your hated rival in exchange for a really great 32-year-old center, Max Christie, and a future first-round pick. I'm sorry, that trade, that part of it is negligent.
Yeah.
And I just can't get my head around that one.
Is there a part of this, do you think, that's at play of because there was that one-year overlap with Dirk and Luka, and we saw 18-year-old Eurocup, that almost this city views them as one. Like Luka and Dirk, that was a one carry. And so it's almost like you've just destroyed the image of who has represented that team because people tie them together so unconsciously.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There was just some seamless transition. And I'll be damned, but he did it. I'll never forget this. The rookie season, Luka's rookie season had ended. And remember, that was Dirk's last year, and they did the big, great game send-off in San Antonio. And the next day, they've got him at the practice facility, and Dirk, you know, holds court with the media, and he walks off. And then Luka walks in right behind him to a wall of microphones. And I'm like, holy cow, that's a lot for this guy. And he did it. I mean, you know how hard that would have been? Mm. And he actually did it. And, I mean, as great as Dirk was, Luka's actually better. And unfortunately, I was thinking about this when they played the first time in Los Angeles. There's only like 10 or 12 Dirks. One guy who plays his entire career, Hall of Fame career in one city. Michael Jordan didn't do it.
Yeah.
Most guys don't. And I think we had unrealistic expectations set by Dirk. But I do think he would have been here in his 30s had Mark Cuban still on the team. But it's gone. And, you know, someone who's observed this now for a long time and is sort of detached emotionally from it, I got to tell you, on this one, it sucks.
Matt Gangle, 4-star Telegram, was at the Nico Presser yesterday joining us here during the Expressway. What do you think of Patrick Dumont?
I don't know. I think this is what he reminds me of, and I've covered it for a long time. He's a very wealthy guy who's been in business, done very well, married extremely well, good lesson, kids. And he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet in terms of owning a sports team. He's never done it. And it doesn't function like a hotel. It doesn't function like a restaurant. The widgets are different. It's just a really weird business. So I think, you know, when he turned the keys over to Nico Harrison, Nico did what a lot of these guys do, which was he was really empowered. The guy who was his fund governor was gone in Mark Cuban, and then he could clean house and he could put in his guys. And that's why we saw Casey Smith, some of these other guys get jettisoned because Nico was in charge and he's like, I can put my guys in place. Okay, that's pretty standard operating procedure with a management turnover. And you had Patrick Dumont, who sits there and says, I don't know anything about basketball. You do. Run the basketball team. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So now what's going to happen, I think, Sean, here in about 2 years is, pardon me, the second year, you know, 2.5 years of Dumont's ownership, he's going to have met a lot of people. He's going to get some knowledge. He's going to be into it. He's going to be interested. And then he's going to look at his GM after next season and say, you know what? Great job. I want my own guys in place. Unless they somehow go on a run and maybe they get to the second round next season, but I don't think they're going to. And that's why I think ultimately the Fire Nico chant will actually be realized, but it's not going to be until this time next year.
Did you think Nico was going to resign at any point? When does he? The only question I think wasn't asked yesterday is, do you ever plan on sitting back in your seat at your home games?
It's a good question. You know, there was like three or four other ones that I thought of that I thought, I wish I'd asked that. Because one of them was, if you believed in this trade so much and you're leaning into it, I don't want to run from anything, why aren't you sitting in your seat? And I understand that would have been really, Dorothy Gentry asked a question of, how are you?
Yes.
That's a legitimate question.
Yes.
I mean, you're now, I mean, they're just crucifying you. And the killer about this, Sean, is that the trade was almost 3 months ago and it hasn't faded at all. In fact, it's almost getting worse.
Yeah.
And I think it did flash for a second. I thought when he had, because he had his notes, and I thought, I wonder if he's resigning. But obviously he didn't. He was just had some bullet points, people he wanted to thank and make sure he covered, you know, X, Y, and Z before he took questions. I think in the one wild card in on this is that if you look at NBA teams, look what happened in Memphis, look what happened in Denver. You just never know. Sometimes crazy things happen, and maybe he does. Maybe the ownership situation changes. That's what I would predict. But I think for him, if he hadn't learned a lot these last 3 months, then he's a lot dumber than I'm going to give him credit for. But moving forward, this is clearly his team for now, and he's going to have to be a little bit more front and center on it because the Dallas Mavericks are his. They're not Jason Kidd's. They're not Patrick Dumont's yet. And I do think he completely misread almost all of it to catastrophic levels.
You feel bad for Kidd?
No, not really. I mean, I think my sympathy for these guys in these situations is changed significantly because, you know, I remember when I asked him before the game, the homecoming game, I was the one who asked him, you know, fans are upset. And he said, this is a business. It's a business. He's been in it for more than 20 years as a player and as a head coach, and he gets paid a ton of money to do it. That it's just the reality of it. I feel bad for him in the sense that, you know, he was handed a completely different roster flip on February 1st, and to not be clued in on that, and that's a little cold, but nope, he said it. It's a business, and hey, some people are comparing it to Babe Ruth, so that's kind of cool.
All right, how did that happen?
I threw out a softball. No one was at it. Was before the game, Sean. No one was asking him about it. I'm like, oh, well, I got to ask him about it. And I just asked him, you know, what do you tell fans who feel like there's no hope without Luka Doncic? And he said, this is a business. And then, as I know you are familiar with this, sometimes these guys, in their effort to be nice, they just keep talking. And sometimes they talk and they construct a sentence that you would say, oh my God, you did not just say that. Or, the other theory, so he says, some people are comparing it to trading Babe Ruth.
Which is awesome.
The only thing I thought was,
kind of cool.
Oh, it was fantastic, right? The only thing I thought, Sean, was maybe he's saying it to throw his general manager under the bus. Maybe. You know, he would deny that publicly. But I thought, if he's doing that as a passive-aggressive shot, mission accomplished.
So the Babe Ruth response was running through your mind of more, oh my gosh, what are you doing versus Nico and the Luka love thing yesterday?
When I asked Jason Kidd that question, I never thought he would say anything like that. No one could.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that is just totally out of left field. And so and that's another question. I wish I had asked Nico that. About his head coach making that kind of comparison. I'd be lying to you if I said when I heard some of those responses, I think the problem was I don't think they thought it through. And to me, it's kind of an analogy of the trade. I don't think they really thought it through.
Matt Gangle here on 105.3 The Fan. The reason I'm so shocked that you said 720 was okay was because of the Stars game, and you used to cover that team with an 850 puck drop. Were you worried? Where was your Stars worry after losing game one and then being down last night?
Huge, huge, because they're not playing well. And the guy that, you know, they made that huge, you know, they made the trade that the Lakers made in getting Rantanen from the Carolina Hurricane and giving him an 8-year deal. And he has not been good of late. I mean, they picked that guy up to be the scorer that they hadn't had in the playoffs. And my real concern was, having gone to game one, was if they don't get Miro Heiskanen back, that, I'm sorry, with all due respect to Jim Nill and Pete DeBoer and everybody else, you can't lose a player of that caliber for more than a few games and expect to win a Stanley Cup. And he's missed months.
Yeah.
Now, so did Tyler Seguin. I can't believe how good Tyler Seguin has been. But my thought was, if they lost last night, they were done, because they hadn't been playing well the last month. I mean, they hadn't won since April 3rd. So for them to pull that out, I would fully expect them to get one in Colorado. And now you're looking at maybe a game six, game seven scenario. I'm still not crazy about the way they played, but they get. And if some of these other guys show up, then they should win. But every year, Sean, every year, there's one great NHL regular season team that gets to the playoffs and lays an egg. And my fear for the Stars is, having gone to the Western Conference Finals in each of the last 2 years, it just may be their turn.
Matt Gangle, Fort Worth Star Telegram, AC/DC reviews, and what's the podcast? Where's the pod?
The podcast is on patreon.com, the Sunset Lounge. Thank you very much for the shout out to the AC/DC show. I dragged my daughter to that one. She did my work for me. Podcast is Angle Angle. Got to get you on it sometime. Would you please join me?
Well, it feels like kind of a afterthought invite, you know?
No, it's not. I've got a list. I do. I have a list of guests and you're on it.
Yeah.
And so, but then I'll always, somebody else will call me like, okay, I'll do that one.
Yeah.
And then, it is. And you do this every day for the last however many years, you know how this goes. You're like, oh, I know I can get him.
Yeah.
So, oh, that one, oh, okay, then I'll take one. I'll get Mac next week or whatever it is.
McMahon's got a book coming out.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, brother. We love you. Fantastic job. Keep killing it.
Thanks, guys. Great seeing you. See you later.
Love him. Matt Gangle, Fort Worth Star Telegram, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
That is right. It is time for Ask Reddit on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. You can weigh in with your answers there. We will also get your answers over on the Twitch and the YouTube, and we'll kick them around the studio here. Peyton Russell, we're going to lead off with you because Sean doesn't like the first question. Peyton, what motivates you to be nice and kind to people even when you don't feel like it?
It's simple. You never know who's watching. You never know who's around.
John Quinones.
Because you know, if I meet a stranger and I'm, you know, a D to them, you know, they might be a guy that I'm looking to try and hire me for their job or something. You know, they might be a boss later on.
You're looking.
Well, no. I didn't say that. But, you know, you never know who's around. Never know who's watching. So that's why.
So how did you phrase this? What motivates you
to be nice and kind to people even when you don't feel like it?
I think it's just a basic, you know, how you were raised. You know what I mean? My wife also will be like, she doesn't like when I make like an airplane joke about the plane going down or something. It's, oh, you're putting the energy out there. Don't put that energy out there. It'll come back. Or you do something nice for someone and you can sleep well at night. But my wife gives me all these lectures about not even putting the jokes out into the ether because it'll circulate and boomerang back at you.
Oh, the fan text weighed in, 469-817-682. All of them saying the same thing. Karma. They're worried about karma a little bit. I'll say, for me, it's usually if I don't feel like being particularly nice to somebody or I don't like what they're giving off, I usually start thinking to myself, like, there's a decent chance they're dealing with something that I'm not aware of, and I'd probably feel guilty if I find out after that there was a reason for them snapping a little bit.
I never really find myself, I don't start off on the attack. I don't just like jump someone for no reason, even if I'm not in the best mood.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be on the other end of the hotline of screwing up or not communicating. There's always a cause.
They got to be poking the bear.
Yeah, or bad at their job.
Yeah.
You know
like
what
Peyton.
I
mean?
Yeah, right. That's why I get yelled at.
So I never go into it like just jumping somebody for no reason. There always has to be a legitimate reason.
All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan.
And now the answer is your children.
Yes.
I got young kids who we're going to follow and emulate.
Exactly. Sean, what singer's voice can you listen to endlessly without getting tired of it?
I put way too much thought into this. I
put no thought into it.
I think for the songs or someone's soundtrack that we did the other week, I think I picked Darius Rucker, but I wanted to go with like, I didn't want to go with a specific genre because I'm like, all right, Darius Rucker is too much country, or John Party is going to be too much country. You know, Michael Bublé, that's good and chill, but that's kind of a style that I couldn't listen to nonstop. So I chose a surprise. We could have had
it all. Oh!
I'm just trying to pick like a basic voice.
Not bad. No, that it's not
a bad choice. That I wouldn't get sick of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a style that I wouldn't get sick of. I like country music, but I couldn't take twang forever. And
right.
That's how I thought about it.
No, I think this is, she was one name that had popped into my head. Honestly, I was surprised when I read this question.
Like
I,
Sam Smith I thought of, but like I even felt like Sam Smith had too much of an accent for nonstop listening.
So when this
Gather the Foreigner
question was popped up, I had thought about it and instantly a name popped into my head that I was like, wow, that just like, I didn't even have to think about it. That came into my head. I was like, that's not the answer though. There's got to be another. And the more I thought about it, I was like, every name I thought of was like, I don't think I would enjoy hearing somebody's voice more than this one. And he's not a massively popular artist, but this is the voice that I came up with.
As long as I am here, no one can hurt you.
It's James Arthur, who is a British singer, and he won like X Factor about a decade ago. I think he had like.
Is this his original song?
No, this is him doing an acoustic cover of Billie Eilish.
Okay, I was and like, so, it's a good song.
But he is his. I think his voice is just. I like the when you've got the cry in your voice a little bit when you can pull that off.
Like
I'm
Peyton's
a big
song.
Fan of that. Yeah, like Peyton's song. Peyton, I went in the studio earlier and was talking to you about this. You shocked me with your answer.
Yeah, this one because I was thinking with this question, I was like, okay, it's got to be country, right? That voice just stands out a lot, and. This might shock a lot of people, as it did Bobby, but this is mine.
What would I do?
It's myself. It's myself. No, I'm sorry. All right. It was already there, so I might as well just play it. But no, so this was my true answer. Look, it's like, you know, he gets you in the holiday spirit here, and Bobby's surprised I actually knew who this guy was.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Frank.
So Frank.
This man said he can listen to Frank. He doesn't know who Margaret Thatcher is or Freddie Mercury, but he's all about Frank Sinatra.
He's just got that voice, man. That voice is just any mood you're in, you can just listen to, and he puts you in a great mood.
Yeah, for a dinner party, or you're making some Italian food, you just go down the Frank list. It's phenomenal.
Some of the answers on the Twitch.
It is shocking, though.
Over at Twitch, we've got DFW Dad says Chris Stapleton, the Sethnicity, who was at Draft 101. I got a chance to talk to him. He says Stevie Wonder, Ronnie Merritt. 07 says Bob Seger. The text, 214 says Prince. Yesterday was the 9-year anniversary of Prince dying. By the way, that popped up in my Facebook memories.
Stapleton's
Clay Aiken
so
from the 469. I'm surprised by that. 469 also says Morgan Wallen. 201, Steve Perry. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton Russell. They say even when pizza is bad, it's still good. What food is the opposite and has the wildest swing between good and bad?
I think this is a good answer because it was the first thing that popped in my mind, but it's fruit. There's fruit that you can have, like a strawberry, for instance, that you can find the most crisp and, you know, juicy strawberry. You take a bite of it, and you're like, this is really good. And then you find one that looks great, and it falls apart in your hand. It mushes in your mouth. You know, it's like it looks on your fingers. It looks like a crime scene. You know, like it looks really bad. So, and I think watermelon's the same way. You can have some really juicy and tasteful watermelon, but then you have some that you're like, what is this? This is disgusting.
Darth Terminati on the YouTube says beef ribs. I'm going, it's kind of what we discussed with Choppy about the Tex-Mex versus barbecue. To me, it's barbecue. If barbecue is, barbecue to me is either great or I don't want to eat it.
I agree.
And so to me, that's the big one that kind of stands out as like, there's no in between. It's either fantastic or because there's such a level, it's awful. Jaime T, 23 on the Twitch says French fries.
Yeah.
EJL Viking says grapefruit. DFW Dad says sushi. And then McKeever Design comes in with the barbecue answer as well.
817 says spaghetti. So you have some Italian answers on there. Some pasta.
I feel like spaghetti's just kind of spaghetti.
Basic. Yeah.
But yeah, the sauce can definitely be either great or I'm not interested in eating it.
Yeah, I think barbecue's a really good one.
We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan.
Sean, what about tacos? Like, sometimes you go in there and you know that they're just, like, reheating the meat.
Right.
Or the tortillas aren't fresh.
I like...
Or do you think all tacos are kind of in a similar ballpark?
So, I think there's definitely levels as to which one's better. But I feel like tacos, generally, I can eat any of them. Like, I can eat Taco Bell, I can eat Taco Bueno, but then I can also go to, like, a really good, authentic Mexican restaurant. All right, Sean Sharif, as we do Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan, what is the male equivalent of a pick-me girl? And for those of you that don't know the phrase, aren't familiar with the phrase, a pick-me girl is essentially the loud life of the party. Hey, pick me. Let me be part of your sphere. That's the pick-me girl.
Probably Bobby drinking.
Like I've been good in public lately.
You have been good in public lately. Bad Bobby felt like it was, look at me. I can drink the most. I can chug the most. I can get messed up the most. So... maybe prove it drinker guy.
It's a good one, Peyton.
Yeah, Bobby's the guy that's like, oh, this isn't supposed to be shot back like a shot. It's supposed to be sipped on, and then he shoots it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your answer?
Mine would be like the nice guy. The guy like, oh, I'm such a nice guy. Like, you know, look at me kind of guy. Like, but he's not really the nice guy, you know?
I can see this. I get what he's saying.
I think I phrased that right.
No, I get what you're saying. You know, the like, basically the energy of the guy who goes, yeah, girls don't want a nice guy. They just want the bad boy. I'm a gentleman. Yeah, that dude is.
I'll take care of you. I'll buy you flowers.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can definitely see that one. Some of the answers coming in on the Franklin.
My wife, man, she's got a pick me radar for other girls. Oh man, get a couple drinks in her. Hopefully she doesn't throw up on you. And she could just rip off some pick me girls in the Metroplex.
There's some great answers on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text. 254, the craft beer guy. 915, gym guy.
Gym guy.
214, ask for a hug guy. Where my hug at? That guy. 972, the guy who doesn't like things just because everyone else does. Which you tell me I have some of that. I don't feel like I run counter to everything.
Not everything.
It's usually the most popular thing just kind of irritates
Choppy,
me.
Choppy, I was always convinced was a contrarian. Choppy has some pick me tendencies in terms of let's get the attention here. You've been better.
EJL Viking on the Twitch, the one with the most cologne. Zeno XX gives a good answer. I think frat bros. The frat bro does feel kind of like a male pick me. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. I think we got time for one more here. Peyton Russell. Let's go with what are some icebreakers you keep in your back pocket for social situations?
Anything religious or political.
You
don't start with it. And I mean, you talk about an icebreaker. I mean, it would be an avalanche if you brought that first thing. First conversation, you start asking, who you voted for or what religion you like or what your beliefs, something like that. I stay away from.
But like if you're walking up to a stranger and you need an icebreaker of like, how do I start a conversation with this person? What's your like go-to defaults for conversation with anybody?
What do you do?
So
a lot of people will be like, they don't want to talk about work. They don't want to talk about their job. I find that people just love to talk about themselves pretty much in any way. Get someone to talk about themselves.
It's funny. When I first started here, and I remember the first event we went to was a Twin Peaks in Burleson. We were doing a fan event there. And I remember just watching all you guys interact with people. And I'm like, I have no idea how you're talking to people you don't know. Like, I can't do that in my everyday life. When we do the firehouse tours and other things like that, which we got another one coming up next Wednesday in Anna. Yeah, we're going to be in Anna Fire Station number one with
Giving
Zach
away,
Walchuk.
Show hats.
Yeah, we're giving away hats, and those are going to go fast. But I'd say, like, after doing the firehouse and getting to know listeners a little bit, you find, it's the work one or just, like, where are you coming from? Or where are you from? And then, like, once they start giving you an answer, you can usually build on that and say, oh, okay, you're from there. How long you lived out there? And the more people just get a chance to kind of be interviewed, I think you're right. They start answering back a little bit.
Ask Reddit every Tuesday at this time with Roberto Bobby Belt during the commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. Charles Barkley, tells the Dallas Mavericks to just shut up. Next on 105.3 The Fan.